Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be, but today you are listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James.
Finally.
Who is filling in for Mr. Paul Strohle, who is back east in that cold weather.
That's right. We send him back when it gets cold out here in California.
Absolutely. So, but we miss you, Paul, so tell your lovely wife, Monica, hello for us, and we hope all is going well back there.
Indeed.
So, yes, we're all here. How are you? How are
Great.
You? I am so excited, but I think we better start the show by thanking our sponsors, don't you think?
Let's do that.
All
they
right.
like to pay the bills for us, huh?
Yeah, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And what an amazing day, Andrew, this is, because it's an amazing time for theater in Los Angeles.
I thought you meant because I was in studio. Is that not correct?
Well, that part of that.
I'll
yeah,
take
yeah,
that.
Part of that's good. Don't call me out now. No, it is an amazing time for theater in Los Angeles this holiday season because the season and theater has gifted us with two simply spectacular musicals, both direct from Broadway and now on their respective U.S. national tours. The Bridges of Madison County at the Center Theater Group's Amundsen Theater downtown Los Angeles, and If Then at Hollywood's historic Pantages Theater.
Michael, you are so right, as you always are, about that kind of thing. Having had the pleasure of seeing both of these extraordinary works, Bridges, of course, from composer Jason Robert Brown, who, just this in, he's pretty good.
He's all right.
Man, I will tell you.
Got a future.
Amazing, right? And with a book by Marcia Norman, and of course directed by Bartlett Sher. If Then, of course, from the composing team of Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkie, who also, of course, wrote the book, with the direction by Michael Greif. I was counting my lucky stars as I sat in the audience, Michael.
And as fate would have it, we have two of those stars with us in studio today, the gorgeous, fascinating Elizabeth Stanley from the Bridges of Madison County.
Thank you.
And the utterly captivating...
You used to say that about me.
The utterly captivating James Snyder from If Then. But before we speak to Elizabeth and James, Andrew, how was your week?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah?
Me. Thank you. Doing good. I tell you, I'm exhausted.
Man. Are you?
I just got off a run
of a Christmas carol out there at the Share Forum in Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza.
I did. It was great. We had a good time. I got to tell you a funny story. You got time for a funny
story? Sure.
What are you going to do? I'm going to keep talking anyway.
That's right.
You don't have a choice. So I'm at my kid's swim lesson. I have two little monkeys. I have a monkey who's 7. I have a monkey who's 5. They're the two best children in the world, and I can still stand them right now. And I took them there to a swim lesson after coming off 14 performances in 15 days of Christmas Carol, some of which were 8 a.m. school shows. Mm. And I show up and I sit next to this random lady, very, very sweet. Her name was Jessica and her kid was in there as well. And I said, oh, how old's your youngin? And she says, I say youngin because, you know, that's what you say to let people know you're from Kentucky. And I said, how's your youngin? And she goes, oh, he's great. He's so sweet. He's 4. And she said, yeah, he's just a little tiny Tim. And I looked around, and I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was hearing the word Tiny Tim after playing Bob Cratchit for all those. It was such a strange reference. And we talked about it. We laughed. I showed her pictures. It was very, very funny. So, but her little one was in there with my boy, and they had a great time. A lot of fun swimming.
Ah,
so,
sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Did you see any good theater this week, Michael?
I did. I saw two beautiful shows. I think we both did, didn't we?
What a coincidence.
Yeah. We were both in that same building. On
you were kind enough to
nights.
Set up some tickets. Man, I'll tell you, man, what a pleasure it was this week. And this was a great weekend for theater.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was indeed. And I think we should probably get right into it and have you introduce our first guest.
You don't think they want to hear us banter anymore?
Well, you know what? I mean, what am I going to say? I'm going to say that I had a...
I want to hear about your swim lesson.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
This is where I was swimming. I was swimming in the midst of holding auditions for something that I produce every year. In Los Angeles, now entering its 10th anniversary year, and it's called LA's Next Great Stage Star. And it is the only musical theater competition of its particular kind on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
wow.
We are supported ably by so many wonderful entities, Princess Cruises has become our title sponsor this year, and the Pantages Theater is one of our ongoing sponsors for the past several years, and Universal Sheraton Hotel here, and so all of the community comes together for this competition, and we put through 20 young hopefuls between the ages of 18 and 32, and all of my colleagues, all of my theater colleagues, all the producers in town, the artistic directors, the casting directors for theater, the equity agents for theater, so about two dozen of them come through, and they judge this competition in panels of four. And then by the end of 6 weeks, no eliminations until the finale. And it's a very produced event. It's not just somebody standing there singing 16 bars. It's all, you know, beautifully produced and a big opening number and all the bells and whistles that we can put into it. So it's grown in reputation, and the loveliest thing is that 14 of our contestants have already made their Broadway debuts.
Wow.
Yeah, that's and another word. 80, we're counting 82 actually, have all gotten a life in professional theater, be it in U.S. national tours, in regional theaters across the country.
That's great.
On the cruise ships, you know, traveling around the world. Television has called them. Disney is a big supporter of this as well. So
sure.
It's just thrilling when we hear from them.
And how many years has this been going on, Michael?
10, coming that's up amazing. On our 10-year anniversary.
Wow,
come
congrats.
January.
That's
really fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's just, that's what I've been up to. Thank
that's
you.
Great.
That's where I was swimming.
Well, if you meet Tiny Tim, tell him I said hello.
I will. I will indeed.
Shall we introduce
yes,
some lovely people?
Yes, absolutely. Why don't you start, Andrew, there?
This is a pleasure because I've been on the show for, what, 3 weeks?
Really? You have?
It feels like longer.
Yeah.
And we have yet to have a beautiful young lady, which we have here today. Nice to see Elizabeth.
Hey,
hello, hello.
It's nice to be here. Thanks.
Our first guest was last seen as the man-crazed anthropologist Claire de Lune in the Broadway revival of On the Town. Other roles she originated on Broadway include Diane in Million Dollar Quartet and April in the Tony Award-winning revival of Company. But she's here today to talk about her scintillating starring role as Francesca?
Mm-hmm.
Not Francesca.
Well, Francesca.
That's right.
Francesca.
There it is.
Right? Opposite the alluring Andrew Szymanski in the stunning national tour production of Bridges of Madison County, currently on stage through January 17th at the Center Theater Group's Amundsen Theater, downtown Los Angeles. Please welcome the equally stunning, is that equally to me? Equally to whom? Equally stunning and utterly fascinating, Elizabeth Stanley.
How are you?
I didn't know there was a crowd in here. I like that.
Yeah, we can
hide them under the table.
I need that for my phone. If I'm having a bad moment, I can just play some applause.
Everywhere
for
you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are smacking their hands together for you last night. You did a great job. Thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, I was, as I just told Phyllis Moberly, my colleague there at the Center Theater Group PR department, how taken I was by this. I'm a big Jason Robert Brown fan, but I think who isn't, right?
Yeah,
but,
right.
And also the fact that Jason is conducting the orchestra was
so special.
Terribly exciting.
What a fun surprise, yeah.
And to see this beautiful piece of work unfold, I never saw the movie. I didn't read the book. So I really, you know, I knew basically that it was certainly a wonderful, touching love story. But I really had no idea what I was coming into on that night. And boy, oh boy, the direction, the pace.
The sets.
The very smart pace of the show, which is very much a syncopated Iowa rhythm. And everything about it, from the minimalistic sense, as Andrew and I have discussed, and also just even those the people who sit on each side, next to the wings.
Very Greek chorus.
Yes,
yeah.
Very much Reader's Theater-esque. I loved that. It was beautiful. Yeah.
And the lighting and everything about it. There wasn't anything about it. I think people were sitting there in just awe all the way through. I certainly was.
Aww.
And your performance was unbelievable.
Thank you.
Carrying that whole show like that. Yeah. With the help of one pretty great guy, Andrew Szymanski.
Yeah, couldn't do it without him.
Yeah. What a lovely actor and a beautiful, beautiful singer he is.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So there's some synergy with this show we found out before we went on the air today. You are from Iowa.
I am. Yeah. I was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
So can you relate to all of that kind of way of life in the show and the way of life in your life?
Yeah. I mean, I think because I'm someone who spent the first part of my life there and then realized that it probably wasn't for me in my later, you know, adult life. It wasn't where I wanted to stay. For my character, it sort of flip-flopped. You know, she came from Italy and then was plopped down in Iowa. And I think, you know, so the two of us both know what it's like to be somewhere else, somewhere more cosmopolitan, somewhere where there's a more mixture of people. It's a more urban setting. And then also what it's like to be in a really sort of isolated, more simplistic country setting. And there's beauty and pain in both places. But
are there good theatrical outlets in Iowa? Are there theaters that people can get their chops worked out and then come to L.A.? Or is it something where you have to get out of Iowa to go do good work right now?
You know, I really don't know because my family moved to Illinois when I was 10. Mm-hmm. So I would have a little bit more knowledge about that. I think there are fabulous community theaters and universities like all over
That's
the country.
True.
But in terms of making your living as an artist, I think most people would tell you it's really hard to do that if you're not in New York or LA. Chicago, you can kind of do it there too. And there's a few cities where you can, you know, pinch it together, but I think it's tricky.
Yeah. I think that's very true. Can you tell me a little bit? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say also, but the tour started in Iowa. So,
yes, it did.
Yeah, and what's
Des Moines.
In Des Moines.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really the perfect place for us to start. The actual bridges in Madison County are not too far from Des Moines.
Great.
And so, you know, we got to see them. And because of that, the community there is, you know, sort of forced to be really familiar with the story,
right.
The movie and everything was shot there. And but they have a great love for it and a great sense of pride about, you know, the romance that can exist in Iowa.
Well,
contrary to what people might think.
Seeing the show must have been a very special treat.
That is a beautiful landscape there, though. I mean, when you drive through there and you realize the history of kind of settling the middle of the country, the fortitude of the people who came through there to make a living out of nothing was really very amazing. I think that's something that, you know, comes through in this show with the beautiful sets and certainly the portrayal of your husband in the show, which I thought was charming. But, man, a man who works to make a living and raise a family, that's half our country. Man, that's people who just want to get up and go to bed and know they did their job for their kids. And I got a great respect for that, of course. I wanted to ask you, this character you play on paper could have no sympathy for her. If you just read it, there could be no sympathy for this woman.
Sure.
You have to imbue her with that. That must be a challenge to know that this is not a perfect woman. This is somebody who comes at this part and comes at her role in life with a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of sorrow, something that she's missing. Mm-hmm. And you grabbed onto that and you made it so beautiful and so alluring because it's something inside of all of us. What was your process in finding that? How did you end up doing that?
Well, I think, you know, sort of acting 101 is that you can't judge the character that you're playing.
Absolutely.
And that definitely applies here because she is really human. And so I just really started to dissect the reality of her life and that, you know, she lost everything that was near and dear to her in World War II. She lived in Naples and her fiancé did not come back from the war. Her city was destroyed, a complete war zone. It was the most bombed city in the war. And she lost her parents. She lost everything that was dear to her. And in an effort of survival, she met an American soldier and he sort of gave her a chance at, you know, starting over. And she said yes. And then she ended up in Iowa. And I think she's strong and really hardy. And, you know, she became a farm wife, which is not a simple, easy life. But I don't think she's unhappy in it. You know, I think like many people, you just, you know, do one day after the next and you keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's not until she meets Robert that she realizes what is sort of a more modern sense of what a woman might look for in a spouse. You know, I think the story takes place in 1965, and she's already been married for 18 years. And I think, you know, still very much at that point in time, you know, women looked for security in a spouse, and that was maybe the number one thing. And now I think women of my generation look for someone who is their, you know, mental, emotional, and physical equal, mm-hmm. and someone that can stimulate them in those ways, because, you know, thank God we have Women's Lib, and, you know, we can support ourselves. And so I think it's a story that I can relate to both parts of, mm-hmm. like probably most people can.
One of my favorite parts, Michael, about the portrayal of her husband was that there was the temptation must be there to play him almost as an absentee husband, mm-hmm. which he's not. He's very loving.
No, he's wonderful.
And the
yeah.
audience, of course, responded to that so well. He's not a victim, but he's not doing everything he should to keep this marriage going. And I got to tell you, I thought that was a brave portrayal, and I thought that it was very well done by all parties involved. So
oh,
it was
yeah,
fun to see.
Absolutely. Beautifully done. Let me ask you something. Take us back to when you were first coming onto the scene of doing theater and musical theater in particular, and what your hopes and dreams were at that time. I mean, other than the obvious, but did you ever kind of were you ever able to look into the future in your mind's eye and see
yourself on State of the Arts?
That I'd be sitting here with you guys.
I knew it was coming. There it is.
you're just leading me there. Well, you know, I was a voice major in college. Uh-huh. I thought I was going to do opera. Uh-huh. And that was really mostly just because the only professional artist I knew growing up was my voice teacher. And right. she had been an opera singer and then was a professor at the time. And so I thought, well, I'll do that. And then when I got to college, my horizons were expanded, and I got to know more people that did theater and got really interested in the acting side of things. And music theater seemed like really the way to marry those two. But I still was always my dream to get to do a role like I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. which the music is such a huge part of the story and the role. And so this is really like a artistic gift, I feel like, that I'm getting to do this right now.
Well, agreed. No argument about that. What are some of the other, though, highlights in your career from what you've done? I know you met this young man by the name of James Snyder in a little show called Crybaby. That must have been something, huh?
You know what? It was. I mean, I think we were both, we could easily say it was, a bit of a flop. But it was honestly one of my favorite experiences I've had. It taught me a lot about the business and how hard it is to create something new that's not based mm-hmm. on something, and that is, you know, it's really hard to make all the pieces work. And it gave me a lot of compassion. And I made some of my very best friends doing it. I think when you go through the trenches, you come out with deep love for everybody that you've been there with.
Working as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
And would you, do you have children?
I don't.
Do you want to? I've got two you can have.
What a Christmas gift. Thank you.
You never know what's going to happen when you're on this show. Would you, if you, and when you do, perhaps, would you encourage them to be in the arts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard, but I think a lot of things are.
Yeah.
So I think if that's what they want to do, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I ask that, but because some parents discourage their children to do that.
I have two kids.
Yes.
One is 2.5. Hey, this is James, everybody. How's everyone
doing? Hey, James. Good to see you here.
Hey,
when
James.
Did you get here?
Oh, we're not leaving you alone.
You're right, James. But if you're
no, I get how it works. I'm just admiring this beautiful woman sitting next to me.
Now, if you're going
to
start talking, though, I got to give you applause. So hold on. Here we go.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good? I know, it's really nice.
I can follow you around with my board, guys, if you want.
Four feet. I was going to say, how much is that going
to
cost?
I didn't mean to cut in.
No, I want to hear.
Not at all.
I was saying, like, I wouldn't discourage, but that was the thing that you kind of have to learn the hard way, is how difficult being an artist is and how much of a calling it has to be. And that's not something you can give, I think, to someone. I think it's something that's innately in them. You have to be willing to make so many sacrifices to for this life. I mean, I've been on the road with my family for 7 weeks.
Stop
now.
Asking the questions I'm going to ask you in 5 minutes, Jack.
Yeah,
come on.
I honestly think
I would discourage them to spare them like the emotional drama more than I would
true.
Like the, you know, financial stability, and because I don't know, unfortunately in this day and age, I feel like that you could come across that in any profession in some ways, but it can be really trying on your soul, and you have to kind of have a thick skin, I think, to deal with the extreme amounts of rejection that you go through in this
very
business.
True.
Yeah. Well, if you don't, you're really in the wrong business.
That's right.
Yeah. And I know, as I'm sure we all do, like a number of like very talented artists who just said, you know, it's not for me. Like my heart doesn't feel nice enough of the time pursuing this, that I'd rather just, you know, have the art be something that is precious to me, and I do it, but I don't make my living doing it.
Yeah.
And that's, I really respect that as well.
James, don't you find that as a father, you read those contracts much more carefully as you're going through? Because you're like, man, if I can't feed my family, then I'm not doing what I got to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah.
And even just even being on the road and being like, well, but wait, I need a 2-bedroom and or how are we going to cram into this one room with all of us and driving them around and flying them, and I don't mean to compare it to it, but I do in a sense, being in the military almost, you know, it's sort of like that is your life, and that
duty
is what and
self,
everything's
yeah.
sort of just really It's a calling, but it's one that can take you away at any minute. You could be, you know, deploying to.
Yeah. No, right. I think about like my brother is in the Air Force, and I think about it all the time. Yeah. Like he's gone, like,
well,
or their family's apart.
You know, I've got to go to Goodspeed Opera House in Connecticut for 4 months. Are you going to come with me? We won't be making a ton of money. Can we handle that? You know, it's like. These are the kind of decisions that all of a sudden it just becomes so much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, I want to ask you a little bit, Elizabeth, about the relationship with you and your children in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously not that much older than them, which was, I thought, a pretty impressive part of the show as well, because that's hard to do in the Amundsen especially. But both of those kids were great. I thought they both added such humanity to those roles.
They did.
Really very nice performances.
Yeah.
But there was such a motherly quality. During the rehearsal process, obviously you have to build that. It can't just happen, a mother and daughter relationship or a mother son. Not being a mom, obviously, it's like you've got to draw from something else.
Yeah.
That Iowa commitment to your children that is spoken about in the play so often is such a hard thing to build. How did you find that? Did you find that as a process that was challenging, or was that something that came fairly natural with those great talents you worked with?
I mean, they're amazing actors, and so they certainly make it easy for me to love them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would love to have kids, and so perhaps I'm, you know, in touch with that in myself.
Yeah.
And I'm an aunt, and, you know, I have lots of friends that have children. And I think it didn't feel that difficult to come by.
I thought it came off very natural, and I thought that was something that very often in L.A. theater, we get a whole lot of very pretty people who are very, very single and focused on their careers, and sometimes that's something that's lacking in a lot of performance. I thought it was very genuine in Bridges of Madison County.
That means a lot.
Yeah,
thank
it's very
you.
Good.
Did
very
you
good.
See Bridges on Broadway?
I did. I saw their closing performance.
I only asked because, speaking of the children, the young man who played the son in that production, Derek Klena, who originated that role, was, I'm talking back now to LA's next great stage star, was a product of this competition, which kind of catapulted his career, and he went in to do Carrie, at that time, was being brought back, and he was the male star of that, and then which got him Dogfight, which then got him Fiero and Wicked, which then got him the Bridges of Madison County. And
super cool.
I was working on Diner with
Sheryl
Crow.
Wow.
And, that was sweet for me to see because I didn't get to see it anymore.
Oh,
so.
He was wonderful. That cast was fabulous.
Yeah. Well, so is yours.
Thanks.
And what a dream evening for anybody listening to this program at this moment in time and or on a download after we finish the live broadcast here. We're talking about the Bridges of Madison County, and it is a spectacular evening of theater in a most awesome, and I mean that in the best possible sense of that word. Mm-hmm. It is awesome in every sort of way. Evening of Theater in Los Angeles, and it is at the beautiful Amundsen Theater, which is downtown Los Angeles, of course, part of the Center Theater Group. And for tickets, you would simply call 213-972-4400 or visit the Center Theater Group box office at the Amundsen Theater. And, you know, it's ridiculously low priced as far as on the bottom end of the tickets. Mm-hmm. You can get in to see this at $25.
Wow.
So still theater is affordable in Los Angeles,
love
folks.
That.
Get away from the television, put down your phones and your iPads and go see live theater to wake up your soul, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being with us. You're going to stick around for the rest of the show.
Yeah, I want to hear what James has
to
say.
Yeah, think.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Before we get to what James has to say, we need to do a little arts calendar there. So I am going to lead that off here.
Why don't you?
Yes, indeed.
So
all right.
Thank you,
on stage, ladies and gentlemen, now through January 17th, Gary Marshall's Falcon Theater is proud to present the Los Angeles Ovation Award-winning Troubadour Theater Company as they return for the holidays, reviving a fan favorite, the parody of a holiday classic, Santa Claus is Coming to Motown.
Okay.
Directed by Matt Walker, telling the tale of Kris Kringle, also known as Santa Claus, the origin of Santa Claus, the Troubies take the jolly old man himself and send him to the land of smoky miracles and supreme temptations. Join us for what the LA Times called a wild and woolly romp filled with a careening mix of circus, theatrics, and musical mayhem.
The Falcon Theater will host talkbacks with members of the Troubadour Theater Company after shows for patrons attending the January 6th, January 7th, January 13th, and January 14th performances. The Falcon Theater is located at 4252 Riverside Drive in the Burbank Toluca Lake area of LA's San Fernando Valley. For tickets, call 818-955-8101, 818-955-8101, or just visit www.falcontheater.com. That's re.com.
And you know that's Gary Marshall, of course, the great producer of television, his beautiful theater. And if you go on opening night, folks, you will see Mr. Marshall in the lobby, and he will probably come up and say hello to you before you come up and say hello to
a
him.
A great supporter of the arts.
Yes, he is. Terrific man.
I could talk to Elizabeth all day. Can we do that? Can we just do a 24-hour show where I can ask her about Jason Robert Brown and the maturity of the music in this show versus last 5 years? I'm telling you, I could talk all day. But we have someone every bit as good next, don't we?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about him, too. Having made his Broadway debut in 2008 in the musical Crybaby, our next guest's credits not only include playing Drew in the Los Angeles and Las Vegas productions of Rock of Ages. I'm going to ask you something about that in a moment. But starring roles in regional productions of Oklahoma, Carousel, Fanny, and he's no stranger to television. He has also appeared on The Good Wife, Rizzioli and Isles, Blue Bloods, and CSI. His self-titled album, it is self-titled, right?
L.A. Curses, actually.
L.A. Curses. Curses?
L.A. Curse.
Curse. It's available on iTunes, his CD. We are happy to welcome him to State of the Arts, and even happier that he's back in L.A. at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, reprising his role of Josh, the role he originated on Broadway in If Then, and starring opposite the great Idina Menzel. Give it up for James Snyder.
Thank you.
Do you see how well we control our audience here?
It's amazing. They get quiet right when you
want
to.
We only let them out 1 hour a week, so they're really excited.
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
In Vegas?
Yeah, briefly. See, we started out here in Los Angeles, and then before it ever went to Broadway, we did like 2 weeks at the Flamingo Hotel in the, maybe Wayne Newton Theater, I want to say.
That'd be a good safe guess.
In Donna Marie?
Yeah, I want to say I could be wrong. It was quite a whirlwind trip in Las Vegas.
Wow, man, that sounds great.
Yeah, but Rock of Ages, yes. Go on.
Yes, so you
was Bob
Rock
Torty
of
in
Ages
that?
And
Bob Torty.
Bob Torty,
of course, my good buddy.
He's in the Vegas, but then I know Bob actually from just LA theater.
Right.
I've actually worked with I was in an Ovation Award winning show with the Troubadour Theater Company. I was in Oedipus the King Mama.
Wow.
So it's Oedipus meets Elvis music.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah. No, the brilliance. And then Santa Claus is Coming to Motown. I was just telling Elizabeth, Rory O'Malley, who had a Tony nomination for Book of Mormon, Turn It Off was his song. Right. He played Santa Claus once upon a time also. Yeah. So Matt Walker always manages to get quite the group of people assembled, and it's the most fun.
He's a crazy, wonderful guy, isn't he?
It's the most fun.
Yes, cool. It is the fun. Yeah. You're a California boy, a USC grad, and you're back at it here in Los Angeles. You must be very comfortable being home.
Yeah, it's good to be home.
Yeah.
I have a little apartment in Los Feliz, right?
Oh, do you?
So, yeah.
But you're from Santa Clara, right?
I'm from Sacramento, actually.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where was Santa Clara? Did you live there at one point?
Born. Yeah.
Born there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
So you're here. So it's like coming home, and you can breathe. And relax.
Yeah. There's so much of a different energy to Los Angeles versus New York.
Really?
Yeah. You know. So yeah. Although I feel like I did more yoga in New York, which is
you
very
have
strange.
To live
I
in
think
New
you
York.
Need it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and subways. Although I've been taking the subway to work because I live near Hollywood and Western, and then the Pantages is at Hollywood and Vine. So I take one subway stop over, and then I'm.
And what do you think of this subway system here now?
It's big feeling.
You can use the word cute too compared to New York, though. It almost goes to five different locations sometimes.
Yeah, you're like, oh, how sweet.
That's so good. Isn't it a pleasure though compared to the 405?
Well, there's a good amount of people. It's never full. Yeah,
And it's pretty. All the stops are pretty.
Yeah.
There's no graffiti anywhere. Yeah. You know, I have never been on a subway ever anywhere in this great country of ours until a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Actually, around Thanksgiving. And I took the subway from Universal City to downtown Los Angeles to the Amtrak station. No, I was going to Fullerton, California.
Interesting.
That's where it was. And that was the only connection. You have to do that to get to the big train station downtown.
But what you said about the Pantages is absolutely true. It's a great stop there.
And yes,
it's easy
it is.
To do.
It's literally across the street.
That's right.
Easy, in that case.
Yeah. But it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what you should do? You should take the subway up to, and we'll have some Thai food. I live in Thai town. We'll have
it's a date.
Thai food.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, a love connection here on State of the Arts. Just putting
with my
together,
wife and children.
That's what we do. Right.
We'll have,
that's fine. It's Thai food. You can love everybody
it's
with
all right.
Thai food.
I've been in love with Elizabeth before. Crybaby. It's nuts. When you're working, really, when you're in the trenches, those were also the first people in New York that I knew. Crybaby was my first show as an Equity member. So
that's so crazy.
Isn't it nuts? 26, didn't know any better. Just like, I'm dead.
Well, let's talk about what you do know better, and that is this remarkable production of If Then at the Pantages Theater, which is there on a limited engagement, ladies and gentlemen, but through January 3rd. And boy, oh boy, was this thrilling in an entirely different way than
the juxtaposition of those shows was fascinating, wasn't
huge.
It? Absolutely.
And excited, of course, to see it for many reasons. But what I loved about it was actually, and we talked about pace with your show, which I loved, and of course, the pace in this show is like exactly the extreme opposite.
Yeah.
You have to really pay attention,
it's frenetic, absolutely,
to the storyline, because this is about someone who is living in a moment two different separate lives, and it can get a little, you know. If you're not paying attention, but the score is so beautiful as well, all of it. You've got that killer number there with the kid's number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hey
where,
Kid.
Yeah, Hey Kid, where you just sail through the rafters at that theater, seriously. And you are charming. That's why I wrote that. You are utterly charming this show. You know that everybody's on your side in that audience.
It's very nice. It's very nice to just... I mean, I just show up and I get to fall in love and have some kids and kind of, as far as a super objective, it's just there to be just a source of unconditional love. And so it's very nice.
Now, in this show, you play a soldier, a doctor soldier, via, you know, kind of a la Alan Alda in MASH sort of thing. Obviously not somebody who is a career soldier, but you spent time overseas with your unit and you came home. I want to ask you, obviously, that's something that we all take so seriously, because that's a difficult job, and the people who do that are, you know, certainly in harm's way every day. when you came back, you know, in the show, you could tell that there was a sort of relief on you to be back in the city, back in New York, back a civilian. Your personal experience with that, how do you justify playing such a difficult character when you come back home and dealing with life stuff as a dad and all that sort of stuff, as you, James, and then compare that to kind of what you felt in the show? Have you ever served in the armed services at all? Have friends who've done that?
I do, actually. I'm from a small town outside Sacramento, and so I know people who are in the Marines and in the Army. I have a cousin that was in the Army, and we did our out-of-town, actually, in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And so it was really, the stage door was fascinating because there would, well, I would get notes on my uniform all the time and stuff that I'd bring back. I'd be like, yeah, I know, but, like, they want to keep it this way, sort of for a more uniform look. As far
That's
as just even insignia, like, I didn't even have a captain's insignia until literally, someone from the Army bought me one and sent it to me in the mail. I was like, just do me a favor, throw this. I was like, they won't notice. And so there's now. But then the mayor came to our opening night and was like, you know what? I have a bone to pick. You probably on your third tour wouldn't be a captain. I'd be higher ranking at that point.
Right.
And so it's people get very opinionated. But
they have a heightened feeling about that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but then you'd get moments where there would be actually widows who came and said, I lost my husband overseas, and thank you for portraying this so truthfully and honestly, and I appreciate it, you know, and then my heart just goes out to them, you know, and so I had a great chance to connect with a lot of people and met interesting people, and I got to email back and forth with various actually Army doctors and Navy doctors. And
I heard that in the performance, and that's why I asked that question, is because I heard two women talking who were particularly touched just by the fact that your situation in the show was very similar to their son's situation. Both sons were serving overseas. Both sons were in medical corps. And they talked about that and how just that's a part of our life right now. It's such an important part. And then to come back and realize what soldiers and armed forces members have to deal with when they step back into regular life, it's something that I think deserves some consideration. I thought it was very well portrayed in the show.
Yeah, very well. And as everything was, it's beautiful to look at. It's got a terrific score. It just sails by and leaving you wanting for more. Mm-hmm. I have to ask the obligatory questions here about working with Idina Menzel, excuse me. And
what are you going to pull, a John Travolta?
Every time I say her name, I think of that.
I know.
But you've also got La Chance from The Color Purple and Anthony Rapp, from Rent. And they are fabulous in the show as well.
Amazing.
The four of you recreating these roles that you did in New York.
Yeah, well, Rent was the first original Broadway cast recording I owned. And so all of a sudden I found myself. Now, I had been doing Carousel at the Goodspeed Opera House. And then David Stone, who's the main producer on If Then, came and saw that reluctantly, actually. And because his husband was friends with Jen Gambetese, who was playing our Carrie Pippridge, and was like, you need to audition for my show. And the audition song was Hey Kid. And at the time, my son was 3-4 weeks old, maybe 6 weeks old or something when I heard the song for the first time. That's so I'm like, my wife got home. I was like, and he was sleeping next to me while I was listening to the first. I was like, honey, this is a song.
I don't know if you're like me, but I've got the recorder, you know, and occasionally I'll hear baby cooing sounds when I'm recording lines or
I have it recorded. I literally have it recorded because I was just recording it to then just have it in the car.
I can't delete them now.
And it's like, and so I found myself and I auditioned without actually having ever met Idina. They put me on tape and she sort of gave a thumbs up. But really, the first time I saw her, we were just in it doing a reading with notes from Michael. And I only had one day because I was at Williamstown. So it was like I came in, hi, how you doing? We had some coffee, read through a couple of scenes, and then I left. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing a Broadway show, and we're starting rehearsals for the Out of Town, and I'm in a room with Michael Greif directing, and Anthony Rapp, and Idina Menzel, and LaChance, and Jen Colella, all of these people that I've, like, respected, and I spent probably the first 2 weeks flushing, like, just Elizabeth knows, I put my foot in my mouth every once in a while. And so, yeah, so I was like, oh, God, I in disbelief that high school me would ever think I would have ever gotten gotten this far. You know,
remarkable
it's
thing.
It's crazy. And cool. And Adina's as down to earth as you can imagine. She is who she is, and that's. I mean, she's a brassy chick from Long Island, mm-hmm. and she's giving, and she's always honest, and there's almost no filter.
It's interesting you say that, because that's exactly what I thought about her honesty in that role, and it is who she is. On interviews that I've seen her do and so mm-hmm. forth, she's no different in her real life.
Yeah.
And one of the beauty parts, I think, about the show was the fact that it is so contemporary, and it's really... Really, for me, was one of the first times I've seen a contemporary Broadway show that felt absolutely right and believable in the circumstances of the dialogue and the dialogue, you know, the choices of words they were putting into the dialogue. What was, you know, what's happening now in our language and dialogue, especially the one particular song, which, you know, has a bold title. What the, you
I'm
know.
Sorry, I don't understand. Mike. Could you please complete that sentence?
You know the song.
We're on the internet. Nobody's listening anyway, brother.
We have
come
a rating, mister, on iTunes. We need to stay up there where we are.
All right, we won't get ourselves in trouble today.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying that to me was just delicious. The whole thing, I totally pulled it into me, and I left with the biggest smile on my face, really actually wanting to go back and see it again.
Okay.
You know? No, it was interesting. Of course, the leads were so great. You guys were wonderful, but I really thought top to bottom, the cast was
everybody.
So spot on.
Yeah.
And the movement, it's not a dance show, but there's significant movement.
Yeah.
Of course, my buddy who I opened the program and saw, Corey Greenan, who I've been a fan of his longer than anybody else on the planet, except maybe his mom and pops, because I went to college with him.
I saw Andrew after the show, and he was like, I went to college with Corey Greenan. And I was like, well, let me go run back and get him. And
that's not true. You're surrounded by all your fans.
I watched.
I had to fight to get to this guy
tough.
After the show.
Sorry.
But it was funny because Corey, to me, of course, you guys are a similar type.
Yeah.
And I believe he's covering you. Is that
uh-huh.
correct?
Yeah.
You're going to break a leg for my boy so he can get up there and he can do some work?
Sorry, brother. Got to pay the bills.
I'll tell you, man. I saw the cast, you know, come on stage, and Corey opens the show with that first little couplet, and I watched, and I was just blown away by the talent top to bottom. It was amazing. And then, of course, when you finally come on, because you have a delayed entrance there, the show just soared. I mean, you really let loose. Both of these shows were really fun to watch for pace, and as a musical theater lover, you watch and you go, man, let's do that everywhere, every day. You know,
yeah,
what a great thing for the arts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the lovely way of how her first entrance in the show becomes also her last, the mm-hmm. exit mm-hmm. At the end of the show. It's just
great way. Michael,
so
did you
smart.
Have any trouble with the transitions from Liz to Elizabeth?
I did.
You,
well,
Elizabeth.
You know, I did.
Oh.
I don't mean
today on the show. I thought we did that pretty smooth. What do you think? In the show, of course, your love interest is Elizabeth or Beth or Liz. And that's a tough thing. That's
right.
A tough thing to make an audience
yes,
understand.
It is.
I thought they did it fairly well.
They did. And I think that that's why I said at the beginning of this is that you have to pay attention, you know, clearly in this show because they happen quickly. And,
right.
And,
or be okay with catching up. You know,
absolutely.
In D.C., Brian Yorkie had written a lot of more. He had a lot more red herrings in there.
Really?
Actually, like, hey, let's trick the audience. Let's see, mm-hmm. you know. And we definitely got hit for that. And I think still, you know, in regards to critically, they then were able to go through and say, okay, well, what were these red herrings and what was going on? Okay, well, let's see what we can fix. And then they rewrote the entire first song.
Wow.
The first 13 minutes of the show was completely transformed.
Wow.
And then throughout they added much more lighting elements. And then now we have, instead of this huge mirror, there used to be this big mirror with projections from a plexiglass under the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are movie screens with projections on it. And I think that helps clarify. But really when you're approaching, I think it was written more from the perspective of you'll catch up. Like you will catch up. It's more about following the emotion. I was lucky enough when we were doing Crybaby, it was right when Young Frankenstein was happening, and Mel Brooks was in my dressing room, and Young Frankenstein was struggling along too. And it was after the show, and he was like, "I just want to say it was a fantastic show." And he goes, "You have to hope that they don't listen from here." And he pointed to his head, but they listened from here. And he mm-hmm. pointed to his heart.
That's interesting.
And I think, what we're asked to do with If Then is really listen. And I think the second act is a perfect example of where it just is a wash of emotion of what she's going through. And so just sort of letting that roll. And I think the more you try and contain it in some sort of, you know,
you can't put it in a little box.
And people do catch up and I think it's complex what they're trying to do too, and what I hope theater continues to be. I mean, when you try and take a form, you try and flip it,
right.
and this is not a common narrative. It's exciting. I think of Company, you know, which I got to see Elizabeth in, which she was amazing and gorgeous in.
Thank you.
The way it sort of shifted musical theater, it was sort of like that beginning of let's go this direction, and I hope that. And I feel that these new musicals in the last, you know, little bit are... I'm so much more interested in... Well, no, often interested in the understated. And in let's just try not to do anything except listen and really just be as honest as possible. And it feels so much more cinematic in approach, you know, from an acting standpoint.
It's the evolution of the modern musical.
I hope it's just the beginning of people really trying to take the form and really just expecting more than just giving us a narrative and point A to point B to point C to point.
I agree. It's like it celebrates what theater is able to do as opposed to what it can never do cinematically, you know, can never be a movie. And I think that's wonderful. I think both art forms should exist. And when theater uses, you know, really theatrical elements and to make the audience engage and use their imagination is like the best gift that it can do.
Definitely there.
Yeah. Good.
In your
good.
Show. And we're going to tell ladies and gentlemen, we're going to tell you right now how to go and see this beautiful show.
They're letting ladies and gentlemen in, correct?
Yes, they do. They do at the Pantages.
Hello.
Both.
Hey,
but before I tell our listeners that, I want you to know that we have to baptize you now. So for being on City of the Arts, and this is something we do with all of our guests, so we're going to give you time to think about it. We want you to think in the next... Well, I'm reading about tickets here.
I'm nervous already.
Michael reads slow.
Love it. An awkward moment, an embarrassing moment that you have experienced in the course of your career. It can be from anything. It can be happy. It can be sad. It can be devastating. It can be anything you want it to be. It can be from the theater. It can be from television. It can be from film. Think on that. We're going to ask each of you to share that with our audience and ourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, as I said in the interim, get up off the couch and put down that remote. Go to the Pantages Theater to see If Then, which is there through January 3rd. And it is at the gorgeous, beautiful, historic Pantages Theater. And that in itself is something to see. If you have never been there, it is a magnificent experience. And for tickets, you simply go to two sources, HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster. And also the telephone number is 800-982-2787. You can also go to the Hollywood Pantages box office, open daily at 10 a.m. and all, of course, Ticketmaster outlets. Again, through January 3rd, make it a point, make it a gift for the holiday for someone that you love, and get yourself down to the theater.
That Ticketmaster, man, they do a great job. That the way they handle that and the phone number there, it walks you right through it, so it's an easy way to do it.
Exactly. All right, so who's looking like they're ready?
Ladies,
they're both in tears. They're just sobbing. Like, well, why are they crying?
Should I do a crybaby one?
Sure.
Sure.
Do the same one. That would be a first on
my
the show.
Yeah. No. We were going through so many changes. You remember Nobody Gets Me and or The Gas Mask? And, okay.
I mean, so many. I can't even remember what the titles of the songs are.
We've only got two minutes.
Okay.
So anyway, so I had the same song rewritten four times in 1 week. And so I had one night to sort of get it down. And then we had about a half hour at the end of rehearsal to structure how it was going. And they had put cue cards on. I had gotten cue cards on either side. So some intern or some assistant stage managers to have the cue cards on either side of the wings so that I could look one way or the other and have the words. And one side of the stage, she didn't flip the card fast enough, and I literally just went up for a full couple of times. Oh, and I was just kind of like, I'd like dance and put my head down. And so, yeah. And then I went back to my dressing room and cried.
Our hearts all broke at the same time for you. It's not fair.
All right, Elizabeth, you're on.
A similarly lyric moment. I just did a Sondheim concert in Grant Park in Chicago this past summer, and Mr. Sondheim was there. I sang Send in the Clowns.
No pressure.
And, right. Yes, fine. I wasn't nervous at all. And I sang Send in the Clowns. And at one point I said, where are the clowns instead of Send in the Clowns, which is also a lyric in the song. But I did it at the wrong time. And the audience seemed to not notice. I mean, they loved it. But then afterwards I saw Steve. And he was like, that was great. Except for that one lyric. Oh. And I was like, oh, which one?
I have no idea.
Oh, are you on a first name basis with him?
Oh, Steve, you know, we're close. We text all the time. No, I would refer to him as Mr. Sondheim. I just, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
Sir.
Sir.
Captain
Sir.
Sondheim.
We had the big guns on today, man. These
we
were two
do.
Great guests.
I cannot tell you how happy we are that you're both here, really. Thank you for taking time out of your day to do this. And we know that you have to work this evening and you've got other things.
I have to work this evening.
Yeah,
that's right.
What?
Well, Corey will do it for you, man. You just let me know. I can.
Oh, wow.
No, suddenly everything just got out.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Okay. I'm feel energized.
Guys, thank you so much.
You are welcome anytime.
Thank you.
So
nice
and
you
of course, ladies and gentlemen, both of these shows on their national tour. Watch for it coming to a theater near you. James Snyder and Elizabeth Stanley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew David James.
Thank you. And
see
Michael,
you next week on the radio.
Actually, no, because we're not going to be here next
week. Oh, that's
week,
right.
So
that's
we're
right.
going to take
it's
the holidays
Christmas
off.
Eve.
But we'll be back in January. And you know who I miss?
Right. Who is that?
I miss Paul Stroll.
I do too.
You have a good day.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Stirling and Paul Stroley, right here on LA Talk Radio.